Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, and this is the Boomers Ultimate Guide Podcast, the place where boomers like me and like you can come together to learn, share, and grow a thriving business and vibrant life. Cue music. Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, your Boomer host and creator of the Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast, and I would like to introduce you to today's guest, Candace Conradi. She is a best-selling and influential author known for her provocatively insightful prose about life. Her readers are impressed with her innate kindness, generosity, and wisdom, and find her work timeless. Her eclectic books speak to the heart of all people, regardless of age, offering beautiful reminders of humankind's innate power and ability to live a life of value, purpose, and beauty, regardless of outer circumstances. She is a strong advocate for self-reliance. She founded Women with a Voice in 2010. It's her active blog, Facebook community, and out of her passion to help women realize their full potential. Her published books, and I'm going to name them for you, The Gentle Pine's Purpose, which is an inspiring children's book, an adult fable about life, The Soul Sitter's Handbook, What to Do When Your Loved One is Dying, and Sweet Tweets, which is one of my favorites because I love Twitter, Sweet Tweets, 140 Characters of Wisdom, each in their own way focuses on the importance of compassionate conversations, the ones we have with ourselves as well as the ones we have with others. Her blogs and Twitter posts are read internationally, especially embraced by women striving to be respected, honored, and heard. Candace's work is recognized for its cutting-edge message that makes positive change not only credible, but achievable. So Candace, welcome to the Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We were having a lovely conversation before we started recording, but people should have heard that. They would have fallen in love with you just from listening to you speak then. But tell us just a little more about yourself, your area of expertise, what it is you do, how you became a writer, who you work with.
Okay. I wanted to write from the age of 8, but my life path took me in different directions. I was a young mother and had a family and had to be a working mother, and I wrote along the way. But in 2006, our youngest son had been in baseball from the age of 5 through 3 years of college, and I really felt like I had some information I could share with mothers about sports and athletics. Mm-hmm. And so my first published book was Diamond Moms, A Mother's Guide to Raising a Baseball Player. And it was really when I started, I was 50 when I published the book. And it's really when I started owning myself, my path as an author. Mm-hmm. And then it just has evolved. And it seems like when you're in the right place and you're doing the right thing, things fall into place. And that's basically what happened. And now I feel really blessed to be able to coach writers. I work with a lot of baby boomers, actually, who have something to say. They either have books that they've been longing to write, or they have a memoir they want to leave for their family. Mm. So it's very fun to sit down and talk to them and encourage them and help them tap that creative place that we all have inside of us. You know, we've been creating our lives, for 50, 60 years, right?
Yes, exactly.
And so we need to learn to trust that. And I have a lot of faith in the written word anyway. So.
Oh, I love that. And you and I were talking before we started recording that I had written a book. So we were talking authorship a little bit. So I get it. You know, I've always wanted to be a writer. I was never brave enough to call myself a writer, but it's getting to that point where one day I said to my children, I have 3 sons, and I said to my children, you know, one day soon, very soon, when you talk to people about your mom, you're going to be able to tell them that she's a writer, you know, and I really look forward to that day, you know, where I own it.
Well, it's really fun because my oldest granddaughter has said she wants to be a writer like grandma. Mm. And to hear that, like, that's like the best, right? Yeah, and she's actually a really good writer.
Cool.
Even at age, at seven, she started writing little stories, and they're actually pretty darn good.
Oh, good for her. See, it runs in the genes.
Clearly, grandma runs
in the genes. So tell me, how is working with boomers different, do you find?
One, I think they're really willing to step out of the box. They've lived enough life, and they have enough experience under their belt, and they've made enough mistakes. And, you know, the whole purple hat thing has its place for when you reach a certain age, because it's not that you don't care what other people think, but you really start feeling comfortable in your own skin, and on some level, you really don't care what people think.
Exactly. I was going to say, you know, you don't care what other people think. So, you know, to a point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not out to offend anybody.
Right.
But it took me a long time to stand up and say, really speak from this place of, I don't know, personal insight or just my personal design, you know? I mean, it's like I'm starting to, like, really like the skin I'm in. It's a little saggier than it used to be, but it's good.
No, I get it. I completely get it. So share with us your top three tips for baby boomers who have that, you know, inner desire to get that book out of them. You know, they have that book inside that they want to share. What are your top three tips for them?
So the first thing is, it's never too late. You know, I always think of the painter, Mama. Oh, what was her name? This is part of the baby boomer thing.
Right, I know. Now you put me on a spot, and I can't remember either. It'll come to us.
It will come to us. But she started writing or painting when she was 80, you know. And my grandmother was 60 when she started a very, very successful business that ran for 20 years. I think that it's never too late to begin. And if you don't begin, when are you going to do it? And then everything that you might have to share either with the world or with your family will be lost forever once you're not here anymore. So it's like, if you're not going to do it now, when are you going to start, right? It's never too late to start. So start.
Okay.
What you have to share really matters. You know, you may think your life has been ordinary or that your ideas aren't interesting, but somebody, if you have the idea, this is my theory about a story or an idea that we have circulating inside of us. If you have the idea, it's meant to be created on some level. You know, if you have a desire to say chef and you never open a cookbook, then you're not being true to yourself. And if you have a story that you just really want to share, or you want to leave your family with the legacy of your, because we don't write letters anymore, right?
No, we don't.
We don't. Storytelling's been lost. So if you have that feeling you need to do that, that's yours. And the power of the written word is transformational for people. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I guess, you know, the third thing, God, there's so many things, is trust yourself. You've lived enough life experience, you know, and we've all made mistakes. And, you know, the old forgive yourself and just embrace who you are, because underneath all that humanity is this amazing gift for the people in your life. And maybe the people in your life are going to stretch out and be a great big web, but it doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
Our influence matters.
I think people sometimes forget, because we're so embroiled in our day-to-day, you know, moment by moment of what we do day in and day out, we forget all the things that we've learned have a tremendous amount of value, especially as you get older, right, as you're a boomer. You've got so many life experiences across all kinds of you know, subjects. And there are people who are younger than you that could really benefit from some of that life experience. But you don't necessarily value it in the same way, because it was just your everyday thing, and you don't think that much of it. But I think it's much more valuable than we give credit for.
Oh, I do too. I mean, you think about the 60s and what went on in the 60s. I mean, we are a generation who's, I guess our grandmothers may have that were born in the early part of the century, saw a lot of change. But there's never been such an accelerated time of evolution. I mean, if you think about in the 80s, nobody even had a concept of the web, you know, of mm-hmm. the World Wide Web, right? And now everybody, I have followers in Egypt and India and the Philippines and Canada and South America, all over the place, you know, that never would have happened, ever would have happened 20 or 30 years ago. So we have gone through so many things that there's a perspective there that I think that has tremendous value and should be shared.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think there's anything ordinary or mundane, you know, about every life, you know, the filters that they've seen their world through, like you said, has a tremendous amount of value. Tell me, what do you think the biggest challenges or concerns are that you see with boomers in regard to getting these stories out or maybe, you know, thinking that their story is valuable?
Well, I think that's the challenge, you know, is valuing your life. I had a recent experience. I had a very interesting childhood. I grew up with very strong women, which has benefited me, but it was a crazy life, right?
Okay.
And I had a recent experience where it was very transformational for me in that I was really happy I had it. And I had wanted a rewrite for so many years. And I think that, you know, we make mistakes along the way, or our parents made mistakes, or our life wasn't perfect, and we want to go back and redo it. But what it is it's the fodder for what we're going to write. It's the fodder for what we're going to create. And as soon as you say yes to it and accept it, so many things shift in us and free us, you know. So many illnesses, I think, that baby boomers are experiencing are because they're suppressing all of that, you know, and to just embrace your life for what it is. You can't undo it.
Yeah.
It's, but it shaped you.
Absolutely.
It shaped you and added value in ways that once you accept it, you get the value. You start cashing in on it. It's weird, but it's just this amazing experience. It's a transformational experience. So, you know, I guess just accept your past for what it is and the mistakes you've made and know that they're meant to serve. It's not, they weren't a punishment. You weren't being, you know, I do believe in karma. I mean, I do think that we get back in our life what we put out. Mm-hmm. But I also think that it's a little overrated. You know, I think that we can be our own master and come to terms with it in a really loving and beautiful way, in a compassionate way that really allows us to create at a really profound level.
And the other thing that I would point out is I have these kind of conversations in terms of marketing in my business life. And, you know, sometimes people ask themselves, well, why would anyone listen to me? There are, you know, 10,000 golf pros, you know, coaches, you know, why would I write a book about that? There are hundreds of them on the shelf. But the thing is, you know, every individual is unique and your life has been unique and the filters that you see the world through make your viewpoint yours and no one else has that viewpoint. So everything you say is going to be different than any of those other 10,000 people have to say. And there's somebody out there who wants to, who it's going to resonate with, who your viewpoint is going to matter to. So you shouldn't tell yourself, I'm not important enough for anybody to listen.
You know what's so funny? I used to walk through bookstores and think, what do I have to say? Right? It's all been written. I mean, starting at Shakespeare, right?
Yeah, right.
But I have an audience. You know, there are billions of people on the planet, and you're not going to be everybody's favorite author or favorite marketing guru or favorite anything. You can't be. But there's a pocket out there of peeps for you.
Yes, you know? Right. Your tribe is out there. They're just waiting for you to show up and lead them.
Yeah.
Right?
And we just have to have the courage to step into it. I just had an interesting conversation with my sister-in-law. She was saying, you know, she was raised when she was younger. She was raised kind of isolated, and she was really shy, and she was really anxious. And I said, you know, our parents didn't necessarily have the best tools to put us out there, but it's our time to shine. You know, it really is. It's okay that we're not perfect. Oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not perfect, Kaylin. Oh, it makes it okay that everybody else is perfect too.
Well, I would challenge you. Is there actually such a thing as perfect?
No.
What's perfect? That's the thing that always cracks me up when you know, you see in the media people talking about beauty or, you know, magazine covers or. The reality is it's different for each one of us. And what one person thinks is beautiful or what one person thinks is art, what one person can't live without, other people go, eh, not so special, you know? So why worry about perfect? There's no such thing.
There isn't. There is no such thing as perfect. I think imperfection is perfection in itself.
It's normal.
It's normal.
Right?
And it's what evolves. You know, it's if it was perfect, there would be no change. There would be no evolution. There would never be an insight. There would never be that next step in who we are as human beings either. You know,
right.
So yeah, I was really happy to give that one up. And it drove me crazy. I mean, by astrological terms, I'm a Virgo. I tend to want things in order, but it made me nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had that experience when my children were little and I was constantly cleaning up after them.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to keep everything in its own bin. And I was literally driving myself insane until the day I said, you know what? It's not worth it. Your sanity is much more important than making sure everything is in its bin, the right little bin, and organized exactly the way you think it should be.
Man, it makes your kids crazy too.
It does. The poor things. I'm sure they'll never let me live that down. So let me ask you, if someone is watching right now and listening to this conversation you and I are having, there's a boomer somewhere in the world listening to this, what would you say to them right now, today, to get started making changes in their life?
Wow. What would I say to them? You know, take one arm and put it around the other arm and hug yourself. Start there. You know, I mean, really, yeah, it's like give yourself a big hug. Just accept the world for what it is. You know, start with acceptance. I don't think anything is more powerful than that. Just that act of stopping to need the world to be different. Stop needing your past to be different. Stop needing your kids to be different. And just stop and accept it. Through acceptance, we get a chance to actually be different ourselves. And we're not fixing everybody. I was a fixer. I mean, I was a big fixer. And it drove my family, my kids, away from me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't. Through acceptance, we find our way to community, and we find our way to connection, and we find our way to that heart space, you know. And if they're riders, there's a lot of little tools that they can do to break down their resistance to riding. But as just living as baby boomers, anybody can benefit from this particular message. I just think when you start just looking at what it is and going, this is what it is. Wow, it's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So how am I going to respond to that? How am I going to step into my life and participate instead of showing up with a scalpel and trying to...
Well, you know, instead of bringing the past and keep dropping it in front of you and saying, okay, let me live through this again, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm good at this, but I like the idea of looking at the future and it's empty, right? And you get to create it. And not that that's not work. That's a tremendous amount of work. It's a lot easier to pull the past in and say, well, I've done this before. I kind of know what this crap's about and I know how to navigate it, right? Even though it's not ideal. But if you can imagine that it's empty and meaningless, that's the part that freaks people out. If it's empty and meaningless, then you get to put in it the meaning and fill it up with whatever you want.
It is. It's like when I write, I always think of the book exactly that way. I'll write a page, but I know that there's empty pages coming and the story's telling itself, and I get to find out what that's going to look like.
And that's fun, right?
It's fun.
Instead of getting freaked out about, there's blank pages. Oh my God, I got to fill up blank pages.
Yeah.
That'll freak people out.
But isn't that life? That's like every day. Oh my God, I got to fill it up. I've got, and we don't get to just relax and be anymore.
Yeah.
If there isn't a washer dinging at us, or a microwave dinging at us, our phone's dinging at us, or Facebook is popping up messages, or there's not, we have to create the space to live in now. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, life is going to come in and just smother us out of our own existence.
Yeah, almost. It's going to sweep you in whatever direction it happens to be headed.
And you would know more about that doing the social media piece.
Right. And it does. You can get sucked into that vacuum. Yeah, you can get sucked into that vacuum so easily. And then before you know it, the whole day is gone. And you say, gee, I didn't accomplish a darn thing. But I saw a lot of cute cats on Facebook. Right? And that's not productive. That's not really living. And that's not interacting with people either. So tell me, for all those boomers out there who realize that the story that's in their heart, that they want to let it out, that they want to be able to tell it, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you? How can they get more of you?
They can get more of me. They can write to me on Gmail. It's Candace Conradi at Gmail, CandaceConradi@gmail.com. And I'll be happy to send them a list of tips that they can get started with.
Cool.
Or they can go to Writers Inner Circle. That's as in write, WRITERS, innercircle.com, and schedule a free hour consultation with me, and we can talk about their project. And they can decide if it's what they really want to do, and if they need help, obviously there's options for coaching and being part of community and putting together a community of writers, and hope to have it online by the first of the year. So people can come in and actually get support. The one thing I've learned from working with my authors is that your creativity gets lit up when you come into group, mm-hmm. and then go back to your, you know, seclusion and write, because it gets fed. And authors are eager to offer their ideas, you know. Oh my gosh, well, if that happened, what if this happened, you know, and they're not looking to steal anybody's idea, because they're involved in their own work, right?
Sure. Yeah, so, the power of brainstorming is phenomenal in terms of fueling your own creativity. And the people who are brainstorming with you, they're fueling their own creativity as well. When we can all set aside our own projects and sort of help one another out, we get to, you know, little air goes through, you know, the brain, we get a little airing out, and then we're able to go back and really maintain our creativity. Otherwise, it gets very stuffy up here.
It does, and the fear factor cuts off the creativity. Oh my God, if I share this, somebody's going to steal it.
Yeah, that's the wrong mindset.
And you know what? The idea is out there. And that's another good reason to act on it right now.
Yeah. What do they say? There's nothing new, right? You said it earlier. Everything's been written. You know, what am I going to write? Well, in a way, it's true. It's just it's never been written by you through your experience before.
That's it.
And so only you can do that.
Start.
Yeah.
Darn it. If you want to write a book, write the book. Write the memoir. Write the journal. You know, and people worry that people are going to see what they write. Especially if they're spewing, you know, which is another great way to release angst and confusion and stuff. Burn it. You don't need to keep it.
Right.
But just write. Just do it.
Would you like to share a final thought with us? Something inspirational, perhaps?
Well, it's my quote from my website. It's every life lived is a story waiting to be told. Waiting to be written. So I just encourage people to really value You know, the Buddhists have this beautiful saying that, actually, I can read it to you. Do I have a second?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I have the book right here. It's The Offering. It's a beautiful, beautiful little daily read, right? But it says, this is what they say. It's not easy to be reborn as a human being. It is rarer than for a one-eyed turtle who rises to the surface only once every 100 years to push his neck through a wooden yoke with one hole that floats on the surface of the wide ocean.
Wow.
And I think the whole point of it is that your life is precious. This is the only life you're going to live as you. It's it, you know? And you're a gift. And you just need to honor that gift. Right. And that gift is your person, you know, yourself. So honor your heart.
And it's a gift for the family that comes behind you so that they can remember the things that you went through. I can't tell you how often my children, who are now 21, 18, and 15, ask questions about my grandparents or their parents, and I don't always have the answers because none of it's written down.
Right.
So leave that legacy.
Leave that legacy. Your kids are, and I personally, I guess it's part of my personality, but I want my great-great-grandchildren to know who I was.
Sure. What? I mean, of course. Of course.
And they may not, but I have that. That's driving me to do what I'm
No,
doing.
I understand completely. Candace Conradi, I so enjoyed speaking with you today.
I had a ball. This was so much fun.
I'm glad that you could take time for the Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast. And you out there, I hope you're inspired to tell your story. And you can always go, I will post Candace's website and her email address that she shared with you on the show notes for this episode, so that you can always come back and find that link. But reach out to her. She can help you figure out how to tell your story. And of course, until next time, take care. Boom, baby. That's it for now. See you next time on Boomer's Ultimate Guide Podcast.